guess what, Matt? Still no Wi-Fi, of course. Wi-Fi gate continues. Hopefully you can hear us and see us okay. We are sharing a microphone, which is, it's just not how I envisaged this going, but I didn't envisage today going the way it went either. Our knees are very close. I'm very uncomfortable.
It is more intimate than the occasion demands, really. I'd rather be nowhere near any other Villa fans or any other human being at the moment, locked away with my head under a blanket. So again, you're welcome to my house. I don't want you staying very long, Dan. I want to get this over and done with and get you out, to be honest. I'm probably going to have to wait on me. I've been out all day, as you know, so I'm probably going to have to wait on my wife today. It's going to make today even more miserable.
Yeah. Do I smell or anything? Is that what?
I think I've just had some spicy crisps. So anyway, yeah. It's dreadful, isn't it?
Yeah, just before we get into it, if people are watching along live, can give us a bit of a shout on whether the audio is okay. There's not much we can do about it. If it's too quiet, I can turn things up. So a couple of thumbs up in the comments will be useful if you can hear us okay. Apologies, it's not our usual standard. Villa weren't their usual standard, were they?
Oh, slick.
What a professional. Yeah, just not how I expected the game to go. A little bit how I felt after Ajax. I didn't expect that to go in the way it did. I just didn't think, and Spurs are a good side, yes, but I didn't think we'd lose, and certainly not in that manner.
No, I think the second goal was the killer for me. You know, they were, yeah, thank you. We know they're a dangerous team, so you know that our offside trap does get breached occasionally, so it was a close call, but once they've scored that first goal, we just need to be calm, don't we?
Don't concede the second straight away.
I think Conte has tried to knock the ball inside and gifted them possession in a dangerous area. They were super clinical, weren't they? You know, the delivery, they're passing around our 18-yard box and they're finishing. I think after that, even at 2-0, I know we're going to get onto the red card and all of that, but even at 2-0, I think we've given ourselves a massive mountain to climb. I thought it was not game over, because you can still get the next goal and Villa Park lifts again. But just Tottenham were able to exert their control on it then when that second goal went in.
Yeah, we normally go chronologically. I'm not bothered about assessing the lineup and stuff like that. Like I said, we want to keep this as short as we can, so let's not go too crazy. The first goal, I've not seen it back apart from a very quick highlights package in your living room just now. I was convinced that whoever put the ball in, obviously Maddison, it scores it and he's onside. But I thought the player who ran into our half was offside at the time. I was kind of not that bothered in Villa Park. I was thinking, no, I'm sure he's offside, it'll be fine, VAR will check it, and they checked it for a long time. Those that watched it on Sky will know what they were checking and what for. I've not seen any of it back yet, and I assume you haven't either. Obviously, it's not offside, and it is something to worry about.
Different. I thought at the time.
You thought it was? Okay, fair enough.
It was Sarr, who's just having the delivery as well, and I'm probably more frustrated that Madison's been able to get in front of, I think, Matty Cash, and I'm not sure who the defender was in front of him.
In between them, yeah.
And it's, I don't know, because I think it was really finely poised in the first half. I think one of the problems that we had today was, I don't think Bailey was at it. And no. I think now, whether that's a consequence of Bailey, he's probably playing one of his most concerted runs in the team as a starter.
Yeah.
You know, because he's been a bit stop-start, hasn't he, most of his time. Whether that's a bit of fatigue from Bailey, I don't know. And then I also thought, because our passing wasn't quite on point, we didn't have any ball carriers, really, with the exception of Bailey, who wasn't. So, you know, you've got no Ramsey in there. I know McGinn can carry the ball. I think McGinn was our best player for the time he was on the pitch.
Yeah.
But you've not got Moreno, who can advance with the ball as well. And I don't know, I just thought first half, I thought Tottenham probably shaded the first half. But we probably still had the better moments in terms of chances or half chances. But I thought Emery would have us like super, you know, in the zone for the second half. And I don't know whether just that the nature of that breakaway goal just made everything fall apart. But that's not our Villa. We don't fall apart like that.
I know, that's the frustrating thing, isn't it? That's not the Villa that we're used to seeing. And as you said it before, sorry, I've got a terrible sore throat. Should have said before I came in. You don't do anything silly after conceding the first goal. You certainly don't do what Ezri Konsa did and play it out to whoever it was and go and concede the second 2 or 3 minutes later. I felt the same as you, that I said to my dad next to me, once it went 2-0, I thought, I'm not sure we're going to get back into this. And that's not a nice feeling to have as a fan when you're there with another 35 minutes plus left in the game. But I just thought, we'll do well to even get two goals back here and get a point out of it, never mind anything more. Obviously, we didn't lay a glove on Spurs, really. I didn't think we did anything well, to be honest. I thought Watkins was a little bit sloppy in some of his build-up play, some of the final ball, some of the decision-making. I think there was one where he was either on his right or left side and he cut back the other way, and it's kind of like, you should have just took the shot then. You almost went and did too much work. Yeah. I thought Bailey looked like the Leon Bailey from two years ago.
Stephen Bailey, yeah.
Yeah, Stephen Bailey.
Stephen Gerrard and Leon Bailey.
Yeah, it just one of them is hopefully what I'm going to put it down to, and I know that might be kind of lazy analysis or burying my head in the sand or whatever, but I don't think this is the beginning of a downwards spiral or anything. It's a bad result and it's a bad performance overall, but we tend to bounce back pretty well under Emery, and there's 10 games left, and I still think we'll do enough to finish in the top five.
Point where the defeat's not the worst thing there. The thing that worries me is the collateral damage from the defeat, so the goal difference has been eroded. Obviously got John McGinn out for three games now, three big games. And listen, you don't want any of your players sent off, but if you're going to get any player sent off today, it couldn't be John McGinn, because he's the heartbeat, and you're chasing a game, you're chasing a 2-0 deficit. And I think you could just see, like, almost sucked Villa's life and spirit.
I saw something on social media, and I've nicked their point. I don't know who it was. I should know. But they said something like, McGinn's red card was the fault of his teammates for not kind of matching his energy.
He probably felt that he had
the frustration. Yeah, exactly. He kind of took it out on Spurs because he felt like, come on, lads, I'm doing everything here, which I kind of agree to an extent. Should we talk about the red card now while we're here?
I mean, better talk about it rather than when you've gone, haven't we? At this point of the podcast. Yes. Go on.
So before we talk in from like a granular detail level, was it a red in your opinion, yes or no? One word.
Maybe.
I don't think it was.
I didn't think it was in real time.
In the stadium.
When I saw it, yeah.
Yeah, same.
And then I watched it on my phone, but had a really dodgy, laggy connection. And I still didn't think it was. Looking at it just on the telly, on YouTube, I can see more of it, because I think it's all about the element of how in control are you when you're making that challenge. And
I can see why
he's not going to hurt him, but equally, maybe it's John McGinn over exuberance. I wonder what we'd think if it was the other way around.
If it was a player on to one
somebody
of
was somebody was clapping one of our players like it. And I just think that probably the velocity at which he's made the challenge, and he hasn't seemed like he's going to win the ball with that challenge, I can see why it was a red. I think what's influenced it, if it was borderline, I think what's influenced it is it's happened right by the dugout and everybody's off, you know, out of their seats, and there's a big kind of mini brawl as such, but a big melee.
Yeah.
And I think that's influenced the ref a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's just the... He makes the challenge. The guy goes down, gets straight back up, and then decides, well, actually, I need to get more mileage out of this. So goes back down again and starts the dead duck act. So I don't know, because you're fairly resolute in your thinking that you don't think it's a red card.
I can see why it was given. I can see, and I think that's the element that annoys me, that don't give the ref any doubt about making a decision. Don't go in at that speed, I suppose. But
That's McGinn, though, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah,
you normally win the ball going in, and that's been yes, he'd take a piece of the man and leave the man probably on the first six rows of the Trinity. But
I cheered it in real time. I was like, it's a foul. Like, I absolutely believe it was a foul, and he didn't get anything under the ball, even in real time. Like, I could see that, obviously, it's right in front of me. But I'm thinking, a bit of fight, a bit of passion, like get us all up, kind of thing. That's how I saw it. And the fight breaks out, and you think, like us against them, like I'm all for this, like showing a bit of something. And the refs kind of wandered off a little bit and pulled out the red. And I was like, what? Hang on a minute. Like, it's a cynical foul challenge. If it's on the halfway line and he just clips him, you just go, oh, yeah, it's nothing. Yeah. Yellow card, move on. The reason it's been given as a red card, you would assume, is because he's come on with that speed.
Yeah.
But it's not studs up. He's not caught him across the thigh or across the chest or anything like that. So for me, I think if that's the level of what a red card is, I think that's harsh. I think, ironically, we spoke about it a few weeks ago, it's probably a blue card or an orange card, isn't it? Something different. It's a 10-minute just go and sit out for a little bit.
If it's not a red card, it's a yellow card. Let's not start inviting, you know, singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I think the thing with me, it's one of those ones where I reckon McGinn is probably feeling pretty down and he's let the team down. And supposed to be, if your captain does get sent off and he's for violent conduct and you've got 3-match ban, and that our chances of winning or getting anything from that game's gone, and we've got the 3 big games coming up permanently. But I don't see it as him letting us down.
Well, I was going to talk about this because I don't want to be two-faced, if that's the right phrase, because when Kamara got sent off against Brentford, I was very like, you've done something stupid there.
That was petulant. No, that was nonsense. It didn't need to happen. You could argue that McGinn's didn't need to happen, but it happened as a result of him trying to get some momentum into Villa's performance.
But I don't want it to appear like bad guy Kamara. And I really like John McGinn, so he can get away with it. Like, you know, that Gordon Ramsay meme where he's like shouting at the kids, shouting at the adults, but okay with the kids, like, because I like John McGinn. I like Kamara, though, as well, but I like John McGinn so he can get away with things. Yeah. I don't want it to appear like that because it was stupid, but I don't think that's the threshold for a red card, really. It shouldn't be anyway. But if I'm going to be annoyed at Kamara for costing us in that sense for the next 3 games, I have to be annoyed at McGinn as well, because West Ham, Wolves and Man City, none of those are easy, and we need to keep racking up the wins, and that job is more difficult without John McGinn. That won't be news to anybody.
So I think he was, I don't know. I didn't think, like I said, I've probably reviewed my position on it since I've seen it again, like properly. I didn't think it was a red at the time. And I don't think McGinn.
I don't think he was expecting to be sent off. I don't think anyone was. Yeah. Even the commentators on the heart. Whoa, it's a red card. Yeah. Like, I don't think anyone was expecting it.
Yeah.
Do you think it'll be overturned? Do we know if it can be overturned? I know.
I think you can appeal it, but I don't think it will be overturned.
No, I don't think it will, because VAR have looked at it as well, and they've also agreed that it was a red. Yeah. So even if it was a 1-game ban, it's still bad for 3 games at this point in the season. There's 10 games left. He's missing a third of that, effectively. Like, that doesn't put us in a good position.
Yeah. So that's bothered me more than often. Yeah, Tottenham have closed the gap on us now to 2 points. They've got a game in hand.
That was kind of the same with the Brentford game as well.
Yeah.
With Kamara missing for 3, we knew that was going to be difficult.
Yeah.
And it was. We dropped points to Sheffield United and Man United without him.
Yeah.
We could drop points to West Ham and Wolves without John McGinn.
Well, let's not ruin Mothering Sunday. It's already has been done.
Do we want to talk about any more of the goals specifically? Because I thought, again, having just watched them back, all of the finishes, they were good goals from Spurs. They were a good team. They're clinical. They didn't create loads, but when they do get in the right positions, they've punished us badly. But I do think the defending could have been better on 2 or 3 of them. And once you get to the 4th goal, it's like, okay, well, the game's gone anyway.
Just Maddison as well. Just giving it the old darts throw in front of the north. I can think of another gesture that would involve a flick of the wrist. That
I was going to say something like that. I was thinking about that on the way here.
Could have been delivered back at him.
Celebrate with the Spurs fans, came over to the north stand and go with that,
I thought the Spurs fans were good. I'm not sure I'm allowed to say that. Sorry, Villa, as Villa, because nobody likes to be mocked when you're 4-0 down. And what was it, you know, what was it, who put the ball in the Villa net? Half the effing team did, and all that kind of stuff. But I thought, even when the scores were level, I thought they were a good fan base, as much as they all wound me up. But I did love it when the scores were level and we weren't losing. When every time Matty Cash ventured anywhere, well, every time he touched the ball, they booed him. And then when he was kind of winding up to take the throw-ins down that side.
Yeah.
I do love the going to cry in a minute.
Yeah, me too. So, Matty Cash didn't help himself by slipping over about 3 or 4 times.
I don't know if this is the Tottenham kitman's been in and interfered with Matty Cash's boots.
I wonder whether he'd forgot his boots and he took them out of like the lost property when he's like wearing some PE pumps or something. Yeah, that didn't help matters for him. Like, he's already got the fans on his back. He slipped 3 or 4 times. Like,
speaking of the lost property, can they get Diego Carlos any tighter shorts? Did you see him?
I mean, you've
got, like, when he was warming up to come on, you've got, where you are on the Trinity, probably in your eye line. Honestly, it's like two boiled eggs in that handkerchief. It was. And the other thing that Tottenham wound me
up, I feel like we shouldn't be laughing because we've lost.
It's gallows humour, isn't it? But when, why were Tottenham doing their huddle when we were trying to have a minute's applause?
I thought that was strange. I thought that was odd.
You know, maybe they didn't know about it, but as soon as it's known.
Yeah, that took a bit too much time to get back, didn't they? I had to go do it over by their fans as well.
I'm just sorry for splitting it. I'm just being a miserable kid now.
Just on the Matty Cash thing, we obviously spoke about it in the preview. Yes, Friday, was it? Yeah, Friday. Yeah. I've seen you more than Mother's Day, and I've seen you more than my parents in the last couple of years.
Yeah, you never even bought me any flowers or chocolates or anything.
When we were speaking about that, part of me felt like, oh, it's just social media stupidity. It's kids on Twitter. Their fans are booing everything and like booing his name being read out. I thought, okay, once or twice, maybe, but every time I just thought, grow up.
Yeah, they were proper angry, weren't they?
It's just weird. I thought it might just be an online thing, and it just seeped into the stadium as well. Just bizarre. Ben's gone without for 2 weeks. Come on. Weird.
Yeah, I don't want to go on about it anymore because it sounds like sour grapes, but yeah.
Probably is a little bit, isn't it?
A lot, yeah.
Should we talk about... I'm sorry, I'm not reading comments, by the way, because obviously I'm not paying much attention. But thanks everyone for your comments. Two bored eggs in a hanky, ha ha ha, is one of the comments.
Oh, that's so good.
We are doing a Q&A tomorrow. In person again.
We are, yeah.
See you again tomorrow. So for the people that are watching along live, if you want to send us a question in the YouTube comments, if you scroll down or if you tweet us at ClaretBluePod, I will stick a tweet out later tonight to ask for questions, but that'll include some viewer stuff in tomorrow's episode. Do you want to talk about atmosphere a little bit? Or is that also...
I'll tell you what I do want to talk about. My mate came for only the second game today, and he moans because some of the stories I tell... I reference him, I don't name him, so I'm going to name him today. He's been to Villa Park twice. Everton was the first game in the Cup when we lost our first game at Villa Park. And then we got battered today. So Anthony Lewis from Rowdy Religious, you're not allowed anywhere near, this is an official injunction now, you're not allowed anywhere near Villa Park again. It's horrible, horrible jinx.
It's his fault.
Yeah, it is.
Unbelievable.
And what are you talking, atmosphere?
Atmosphere, should we touch on it quickly or do you not want to talk about it? So... we had all this talk before the game. I think even McGinn or Emery or somebody mentioned it pre-game about needing the 12th man and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And all the
11th man would have been nice, wouldn't it? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. All the build-up was like, Villa Park will be rocking. It'll be electric today. It'll be a superb atmosphere from minute one. It wasn't.
I didn't find it dead. I found it... I thought the whole end was trying to do its bit to...
Yeah, as all, I'll tell you, I've read though.
Yeah.
I thought it needs to be, not like the one I always think back to because it's more recent memories, the Albion semi-final in the playoff.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's been good atmospheres since then, but that was like one that I really remember. It's like, this is proper. That's the level I feel you need when you're talking about the 12th man and making a difference. The whole end being slightly more loud than normal is...
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to...
Like when you're getting like the football in the library and the whistles and all that kind of stuff, and then you're like the one that I hate is when the opposition fan do the shh, and then it's still quiet, and they're all like, it's just, I don't know, I just thought it's crap. And I know some people don't like the moaning about the atmosphere because you're part of it.
We're going to say to be blamed.
I don't know. I don't think there's anyone to blame. I
got on my feet and started a throaty chant, but
I don't think anyone's to blame.
No, I think it's difficult. I think. The way that the game went.
The weather, people in the comments are saying. The weather affects the atmosphere.
Well, I was going to say something not quite as lame as that. I was going to say the kickoff time at 1 o'clock on a Sunday. You know, when knackered anyway, because I had to get up and make my wife breakfast. So I blame that. I blame whoever invented Mothering Sunday. It's probably Clinton's Cards or somebody, isn't it?
I didn't think
it was terrible. I mean, the second half... I reckon...
Then once it goes to 2-0, you kind of think, okay, well, we're done here.
Yeah, and if, as strange as it sounds, if McGinn would have stayed on after that, that would have probably been what set the tone.
Yeah.
To say, okay,
yeah.
We want some more. Well, we don't want some more.
Yeah, there was still a half hour to go, wasn't there, give or take, after the second goal. You think, well, it's still, like I said, well, we probably won't get back into this, but half an hour plus 10 minutes of added time is still a lot of match time to go. But yeah, just flat, I suppose, is the description for the whole day. The result, the weather, the performance, having to make breakfast this morning.
Yeah.
Just flat.
Yeah.
Flat as a pancake. Was it pancakes?
Yeah.
Lovely, yes.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Lovely.
Anything
else?
No, just what was I going to say? The fella, I can't remember his name, at half-time, who was doing those penalties.
Oh, the charity thing.
Yeah. No, in case anybody wants to... Ed Simpson penalty challenge. He's taken a penalty at 100 different places.
Yeah.
I think was it for brain football? Injuries, I think.
I don't know, was it all football grounds?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But I just thought Bella, don't save this. Because Bella was in goal. I thought, whatever you do.
Can imagine this.
I thought, she's got a massive head, hasn't she? So I thought he's going to eat it. He's going to bounce off her head. You know, because I thought we gave him quite a bit of support.
Yeah, it's good.
The only thing we got to cheer all afternoon.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought he was going to come back off Bella's massive head. But yeah, well, I can't think. I think the cause was for brain injuries, I think. So go and Google. What's his name?
Ed Simpson, I think.
Ed Simpson or something like that.
I'll put a link down below if people want to check it out. That's the best way of doing it.
What else was I going to say to you?
Are these your notes?
Yeah. I text myself.
This is behind the scenes content I wouldn't normally get. Can I have a look?
I text myself, so it probably cost me. I presume I get free texts in my pockets.
Can I just scroll through? I won't read any out. I'm just going through. What's this about?
I was about to come to that.
Okay,
in a minute.
Go on then. Go for that.
So the one I wanted to mention before that was probably my highlight for it. When Longley did he make?
Yeah,
he met somebody dead
on the right side.
Yeah, in the first half. So that was a little bit of a.
I know what it was. We weren't kicking towards the hole first.
Is that what it is?
That's why.
John's done a piece on that, hasn't he? Saying how kicking.
We start. Now I think. Yeah. We should have flipped it.
The reason I put Peep Show theme tune in there, if you'd have stayed towards the end, you know the Peep Show theme tune?
Yeah.
I'm not sick, but I'm not well.
Da-da-da-da. Yeah.
Because I'm in hell. Now, the lyrics of that are quite downbeat, but paranoid. Anyway, the tune itself, I think, is quite a lively tune, and they played that on the final whistle. What do they normally play after defeats?
I don't know. I can't say I've paid much attention to know specifically. I remember when it was Don't Look Back in Anger. That wasn't defeats, was it? Was that wins at one point?
Wins, because we won away at Reading or something. Yeah. That first away win in about 27 years or something.
I'd imagine it's just like random music when we lose. I can't imagine there's a set track. So they played that full time?
Yeah.
Yeah, strange. Someone's just mentioned that the camera's foggy, so I'm just going to wipe the webcam if you want to keep talking.
Yeah.
A bit more behind the scenes for everybody. That's dirty.
What are you doing there, Dan? That's disgusting. What are you doing?
Look, it's in crisp HD now. Yeah. I left early. Should we talk about that?
Yeah, go on then.
I'm happy to admit that. There was...
And then you moan about the atmosphere. He was rocking for the last 30 seconds.
Peep Show came on, everyone was like, oh, yeah. There was...
We should do this Peep Show style next time. We
should do it. Switching the POV. That'd be good. Just grab that off there and switch it every time. We left. There were circumstances to it. To clarify, we parked in our car park. There's not. I don't want to give away where it is because it's limited space. But normally you could park somewhere else.
Right.
But we couldn't because it was raining. Fill in the gaps if you can think what I might be referring to. We parked somewhere different. But we were the last car in, so we're at the front of the gate.
Right.
So we're blocking everyone else in, basically.
So you're doing a public service by leaving early, is that what
so
you're saying?
So he said to us, can you make sure you're quick, like, at the end? And we're like, yeah, fine. We never leave early, I will just say. I can't remember the last time I left early. Even in the relegation season when we lost every week, we still stayed till the end for some reason. So we left. It got to 92, I think, and it went 3-0. It got to 3-0, then it went to 10 minutes added time. It's like, fuck, just blow it now. Like, we don't need 10 minutes of this. I won't look at the comments because the people were saying, I can't believe you left early. But because everyone else was going, we kind of thought, well, if we stay to the end, we're then a lot late. Do you know what I mean?
You're not winning me over, really. So you're doing them a favour.
So we had to go.
Well, guess what? All those people you were blocking in, they were still there on the final whistle. So you needn't have rushed. They were proper fans.
When we got there, again, our car was like at the front of the gate. And there were a few cars behind us with their headlights
on. Oh, yeah, so the angry mob was there with pitchforks.
So we got out and then they could all go as well. So there was a little bit of added context to why we left. However, I've seen on Twitter on the way here that there's like been a bit of a bit of beef between I've got some beef there in my mystery meat box that I've been given. A bit of beef between podcasters and Twitter people that we may or may not know about whether you should leave early or not, whether you can, whether you're a better or worse fan for leaving early. I don't care what anyone else does, personally.
I think it should be like an escape room.
You leave early, you've got to do
like a person. Early, you've got to kind of crack the code to get out of there.
Probably be 1982, wasn't it? If it's a four-digit code. I'd do what you want. I don't think anyone should be judged for leaving early. I think there's plenty of reasons, whether you're blocking cars in as one, whether you're 4-0 down with another 6 minutes to go. I think, you know what, can't be arsed. It's time to go. You might be going out for a meal this evening with your mom, specifically today. There's plenty of reasons for people to leave early with poor transport links. It's a Sunday. Like, I don't care whether the guy in front of me leaves with 10 minutes to go every single week. That's what they do and that's their routine. Who am I to judge?
I don't particularly care. I never do leave early. I'm not trying to be
But you're no better than
I'm
anyone
I'm not trying
else
to be earlier that. Than them. I like to stay and applaud.
Yeah, that's fine.
My team.
So do I normally. But there's nothing wrong with leaving early if you do. But there's this big thing online about you're not as good as a fan or you should be grateful because if I was there, I would stay till the end. It's like, well, there's 40,000 people there with 40,000 lives and 40,000 personal circumstances. You can do what you like as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, I thought you'd be gone by now, to be honest.
One final thing before we go. We've done 27 minutes.
Have we?
Yeah, Christ, I thought I was going to only do 20. Just like kind of, we'll talk about this tomorrow, undoubtedly, in more detail on the main podcast for the week. We don't feel like it the way we are now, but like being doom and gloom or the end of the world, and this is the start of a crisis and whatever else. It was bad, and losing by 4 goals is bad. The goal difference is now a lot worse than it was. Man United won 2-0 yesterday, so that swing is slightly less. Spurs have closed the gap. They win the game in hand in a couple of weeks' time. You know, it's not good, obviously. I'm not going to pretend that it is. As I said at the start, I don't believe this is the start of us losing another 6 or 7 games this season and dropping down to 6th place or anything like that. I do think we'll react pretty well. You've got Ajax, West Ham, Wolves, Man City now as the next 4 off the top of my head. You want to beat Ajax, you probably want to beat the other two, and then Man City is a free hit, if you like. I don't see us doing the double over them this season, put it that way. I don't think this is cause for panic or concern or second season Emery and all this rubbish that you will see from other people, that you'll see Gary Neville on Sky Sports going, oh, Villa are done, Villa have bottled it, anything like that. Is that how you feel, or do you think this is bad news?
There was on the radio, TalkSport, at the start of the Liverpool Man City game, and they're doing roundups of the other results so far. And I think they said Spurs put a massive dent in Villa's Champions League hopes. And I thought, I'll look at it from two perspectives, because as a cynical Villa fan who's seen us, you know, threaten to do things good and flirt with success and then seen the rug being pulled, those battle scars. And we had the thing under O'Neill, and I'll keep O'Neill's my frame of reference, I need to get over myself. But we got to March, and I don't think he ever won games in March.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, Villa were trying to wrestle the way into the established elite, but we didn't have the squad. Well, probably under O'Neill, we probably had more of the squad, but he didn't want to utilise the squad. So I think half of me thinks, oh, is this typical Villa? You know, they've set us up, and now here comes the fall, just when you start to believe. But the other thing, mate, that cancels that out is that Unai Emery doesn't do crisis.
Yeah.
And he finds a way. You know, he always seems to find a way. I've not heard any of his post-match stuff. I should imagine it's probably as measured as possible.
There was one line I really liked that could have been the title for this, and it was like, we are sad, we are disappointed, but we are fourth. It's like, yeah, that's the press conference. Like, yeah. Today is bad. I am sad. I am disappointed. But there is that still that kind of level out approach. Like, yeah, we're still where we are.
Yeah. I think it's how does he... Obviously, it's a massive match on Thursday night now, because we think we can win that trophy. So we've got to go out and prove it. I think West Ham have come back, haven't they, to draw, have they? They were 2-0 down today against Burnley, and have come back to draw. We've got to go there on the front foot and prove that we can go and win that game. And it's the McGinn. The McGinn factor.
Yeah.
So not only were we down to 10 men and 2-0 down when McGinn got sent off, but I don't think you knew who you were looking to get us out of that. And that's not to knock the quality of those players or the spirit and character of those players, because they're all... But in terms of the leader... Like Martinez is your deputy, you know, your deputy
captain.
And but it's hard for a goalkeeper to to really get you going like that, although I'm sure Emi would have a good go. So it's not only how do we replace McGinn positionally and tactically, but it's how does Emi pick that team up quite quickly for a really, really important couple of weeks, and who becomes his, I suppose, on-pitch leader, really.
Pau Torres, maybe?
Potentially. I mean, McGinn's just unique, though. He's a one-off, so you're not going to get that because, you know, you hear the phrase, don't you, leads by example, and you probably think perhaps not if he got sent off today, but he does. He can set the tone, he can set the tempo, he can lift the crowd. We need somebody within that group to stand up, all of them, stand up and do that, really.
Also, positionally, he's filling in for Kamara. Timur Ibunim comes on for half an hour and played against Ajax. He will probably now be starting games, which is not, no disrespect to him, but that's not the level that you need to win six or seven games left this season to secure top four place. Yeah. So, it isn't great. I'm not going to try and dress it up that it is, but I'm not.
I don't think he's not season over.
No. I've seen that, though, on Twitter and stuff on the way here. Oh, season over, might as well give in now, lads. It's like, man, we need to win five or six games. And that's only if Man United win seven or eight. If Man United only win three for the rest of the season, we've probably only got to win about two. Yeah. So even if we fall off massively, which I don't think we will, we should still be okay, I think. And that's the kind of measured approach that we should have.
I think the one thing that has probably got us, like our Fortress Villa Park has started to creak.
Yeah.
We've got spoiled by how dominant and successful we were at Villa Park. So that's started to creak. We've seen, although Man United were able to fend them off a little bit and keep them at arm's length. We've seen Tottenham start to close that gap, particularly today. I think that's come at a time where we've seen Villa's accounts and there's lots swirling around about FFP. And I think it's almost as if where we thought, well, Champions League this year, that'd be a nice early treat for us. It's almost as if we're banking on it now.
Yeah.
Because financially, we need it. We need it to sustain. We need it to keep pace with the ambitions of our manager and of our players. But we also need it financially so that we can keep that squad together and build that squad. So it's suddenly what should have been not a free hit as such. It's competitive sport at a really high level. But what felt like a free hit now feels like the pressure.
I still do think we'll do it.
Yeah.
So again, I'm not overly concerned. Like if we lost to West Ham, Wolves and Man City and we lost four in a row, then obviously, it's slightly different. Yeah. But I just don't see that happening. I do think we'll be okay. I tried to have a look on the way here at last year's league table. I couldn't kind of match it for month, but close enough. For Newcastle last year, we've always kind of gone, if we just do what they do, and that felt like they could have won all every single week. Check the results. Newcastle have won again. How do they keep doing it? And that's not quite how Villa have been over the last, well, in 2024, really. But more often than not, we do tend to win a lot. We just won, three in a row, I think, the last three. I looked through Newcastle's results last year and it went to April rather than March. But hear me out. They'd won about four or five and then they had a period where they lost and then they won another three or four in a row. And I thought, that's kind of how Villa need to be now. Their loss was Villa. The one last year when they'd won five in a row, then came to Villa Park and we absolutely battered them. And that didn't derail them. It didn't cause massive concern. And they were awful that day, but the wheels didn't come off or anything. So my weak analysis comparison is, well, yes, we've lost today and it was bad, but if you win three of the next four or four of the next six, that's still enough to be that team that Man United look at and go, Christ, Villa have won again. How do they keep winning? And that's all we've got to do. So as long as this isn't the start of something, which I don't think it is, then we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay, Matt. I almost touched you then. I thought it'd be weird.
Don't touch me. especially if you brought a box of meat with you.
Yeah, my mum's cooked a lamb shoulder and given me a bit of the meat to have for sandwiches and stuff. So
what did you buy your mum? What was that?
I got her like a half moon shaped wall planter.
It's a half moon. He might be a double. Diego Carlos is short. That's a full moon.
A pink crescent moon wall planter for the garden.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Well, I bought my wife and mum some flowers, so maybe they could combine and use them. I bought her some flowers.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a last minute dash around Sainsbury's in Blackheath. And
I'm in Sainsbury's as well.
And Big Asda down at Birchyard last night. And I bought, I don't know if she likes it, but you know Judge Rinder? He's written a novel now.
Has he?
Called The Trial or something like that. So my mom's a big reader. So I don't know. I'll report back in a few weeks on whether that's
okay.
That's final thing. Saw a couple of people at Villa Park on Thursday night. I forgot to give shout out to big fans of the podcast,
yeah.
Ben and Sam. So thanks for coming over and saying nice things, Ben and Sam. And as Dan said, there'll be better times than today.
Yeah.
So,
I had a couple of people come up to me, and it's people I've seen before, like they sit around me, and every single one said, "Got your Wi-Fi sorted yet? Are you back online yet?" I was like, "No."
Like Tottenham fans.
I was like, "I'm going to cop me out."
It was a bit.
Yeah. I was going to do it again then, but I'm not going to. Right, let's call it a day there. I'm going to try and grab the mouse and multitask and do both things at once. Hopefully you've enjoyed this post-match podcast, despite the result. I think we've had a good old little chit-chat as always, haven't we?
Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow, aren't we? So we'll get stuck into some of the questions as well. But
Yeah,
keep the faith.
Yeah, if you can send in your comments or questions on YouTube or Twitter, that's at ClaretBluePod on Twitter, or just scroll down on this video and leave your YouTube comments with questions. Ideally, not too much about Spurs. I know that probably sounds counterintuitive, but it's going to be me and Matt again. So asking us what we think of Conte's mistake or Madison celebration, we've done it. So ask us different things. Ask us stuff about Ajax or West Ham, or honestly, things that aren't Villa related as well. I'm happy to talk about anything, to be honest. So get involved with the show. We'll be back again tomorrow at some point. Until then, just reading some comments. Until then, we'll see you soon. Do you want to say bye?
Ta-ra, up the Villa.